please remain standing and turn with me to responsive reading 675. We'll be reading verses from Genesis chapter 1 and also chapter 2. I'll read the light print, and if you will respond by reading with me in the bold. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness." And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Please be seated.
Again, it is my pleasure and delight to welcome you to this very special chapel, this very special weekend on the campus of Union University. We always look forward to a homecoming. It's an opportunity to connect with the larger Union family as alums from recent days and from times past come to join us and renew their friendship, fellowship, and celebration of the providential hand of God over this university in days gone by. If you are here this morning and you are an alum of this institution, even if you serve now full-time as a faculty or staff, you're here as a graduate student, or you're here like this class of 52 who have returned for this special weekend, would all of our alumni of Union University please stand that we might recognize you. Thank you so much for your presence here today. We have been led in our worship by Dr. Robert Burton, who led us in our hymn together. Dr. James Huggins, who is the chairman of our biology department, led us in our invocation. Dean Barbara McMillan, who gives leadership to the College of Arts and Sciences, led us in our responsive reading. Dr. Randy Johnson will conclude our service today when he comes to bring our benediction. Dr. Johnson serves as chair of our Department of Chemistry. As you can see, it is a day that we are focusing on the sciences at Union University, and our special speaker today will bring a presentation related to the history and heritage of science here at Union University. Our anthem will be presented by proclamation under the direction of Mr. Ricky Clark. They will be singing for us, "The Earth is the Lord's," and Dr. Ron Bowd has led us on the organ. Our special speaker today is Dr. Jimmy Davis, Professor of Chemistry and Associate Provost at Union University. Dr. Davis is himself an alum of this institution. He holds a PhD from the University of Illinois. He and Dr. Hal Poe are co-recipients of a Templeton Foundation grant on science and religion, which resulted in a volume that was recently published called Science and Faith. There is a forthcoming volume that is coming this year called The Designer Universe. Dr. Jimmy Davis is a leader on this campus, an outstanding teacher, a resident historian of many aspects of the work of this campus, a proven scholar, and now becoming an accomplished author. We look forward to hearing his presentation. He has worked diligently in preparation for this time. I've seen a sneak preview and look forward to hearing the rest today. At this time, we are going to recognize some special alumni who are with us from the class of 1952, here celebrating the 50th anniversary of their graduation from this institution. And I'm going to ask Mr. Gary Williams, who serves as the Executive Director of our Alumni Services, to come and help us make this presentation. We'll be assisted by Mr. Carter and Mr. Alsobrook, Provost Sanderson, and Mrs. Dockery, if you'll come at this time to help us make these presentations.
President Dockery, distinguished faculty, staff, students, alumni, and guests, today, on the occasion of Founders Day 2002, and on this homecoming weekend, members from the class of 1952 celebrate a significant milestone, their 50th anniversary reunion. It is a great source of pride for me to present, on behalf of the Union University National Alumni Association, members from the class of 1952, for the presentation of their 50-year reunion commemorative medallions by the President, the First Lady, and the Executive Cabinet of the University. Will you please stand? First of all is Reverend Jim F. Yates, Sr., the president of the class of 1952, a retired pastor from Yazoo City, Mississippi. We would also recognize Reverend Carlton, William Carlton Butler, retired minister from Salem, Oregon, who is presently serving as a church construction consultant with the Northwest Baptist Convention in Oregon and Washington, living in Salem. Mm. Mrs. Virginia Maroney Conger, retired from the classroom after teaching for 31 years, now living in Jackson, Tennessee, and wife of former Mayor Bob Conger of Jackson. Mr. Eugene Forrester, the retired Medical Administrative Executive Director of the Mid-South Regional Blood Center, now residing in Germantown, Tennessee. Mr. Billy G. Fowler, retired minister of music after serving in churches in Tennessee, Kentucky, Illinois, and Alabama, currently living in Henderson, Kentucky. Mrs. Shirley Whalen Lawler, living in Trenton, Tennessee, a homemaker, a secondary school teacher, and a trustee for two consecutive terms of Union University. Mr. Joe D. Littlefield, currently living in Memphis, Tennessee, a retired pastor. Mrs. Margaret Ramona Hall Mercer, retired Southern Baptist foreign missionary, serving with her husband Dewey in Japan for 36 years. Our very first missionary in residence here at Union University and chairperson of the 50-year reunion for the class of 1952. Reverend Carlos R. Owens, retired pastor and career foreign missionary in Africa, now living in Buchanan, just outside of Paris, Tennessee. Mrs. Catherine T. Taylor is with us today. She is a retired homemaker, and she is living in Memphis, Tennessee. We welcome Ms. Taylor to the Class of 52 reunion. Mr. Charles H. Spain, coach and teacher, retiring from the life insurance business in 1992 after 30 years in the life insurance business. Mr. Spain was a member of the Bulldog basketball team, whose jersey was retired at Homecoming 2000 after being the only Union University Bulldog to play in the National Basketball Association, living in Paris, Tennessee. Mrs. Margie Edwards Watlington, a retired school counselor and English teacher, and quite honestly, one of her most helpful roles as the helpmate of a minister of music for over 50 years, now living in Kingston, Tennessee. Reverend Mel Williams, retired director of missions and currently still serving as a pastor in Chester County and living here in Jackson, Tennessee. Will you join me as the Union University in congratulating these from the class of 1952?
President Dockery, distinguished colleagues, students, class of 52, and guests, it is a distinct pleasure to give this Founder Day lecture on the science heritage at Union University. Because of time constraints, I will only be looking at the chemistry and biology aspects of this science heritage. In order to understand this heritage, we need to look at Union's pedigree. Union is the result of a fusion of two pioneer institutions. One of these institutions, West Tennessee College, was located here in Jackson, Tennessee. It was originally chartered as an academy, Jackson Male Academy, in 1823, and that chartering makes Union the oldest institution associated with the Southern Baptist Convention. The other pioneer institution was Union University, located in Middle Tennessee at Murfreesboro, and it was an institution of the Middle Tennessee Baptist at that time. Both of these institutions were then, in 1875, fused together into a single institution by the Tennessee Baptist Convention that was called Southwestern Baptist University. And the final twist on this, well, I guess not the final, then in 1907, Southwestern was renamed Union University, and finally a Baptist junior college located in Martin called Hall Moody was then merged into Union, and the rest has remained the same, I guess. Let's begin by looking at Union University in Murfreesboro. This was an institution of the Baptist of Middle Tennessee and North Alabama. There was no Tennessee Baptist Convention in those days. It was a male-only institute, and this building that you see was the campus. In that building, you would have your chapel, your classrooms, your offices, and what they called philosophical and chemical apparatus, which we would call a laboratory. The science faculty would not have been trained in the sciences. If they were lucky, they would have had some MD training. There were no majors and minors. Everyone took the same sequence of courses, and you ended up with a degree at the end of that. So let's look at what a typical student would have taken in the 1840s. From the School of Moral Philosophy, you would have taken your English, your moral science, evidences of Christianity. From theology, you would have taken biblical interpretation and biblical theology. From the School of Mathematics, she would have ranged all the way from algebra to differential and integral calculus to something called shadows and linear perspective. In the School of Natural Science, you would have had physiology, uranography. Everyone knows that. That's the mapping of the stars. You would have had your chemistry, your astronomy, your zoology, and even agriculture. So, and everybody took that, not just the science people. So it was a very good blending of science and faith that's reflected in a statement from the 1853 catalog, which says that the university endeavors to furnish mental discipline, to cultivate a taste for the science, a generous love for the work of nature, and through them a love and reverence for their creator. And that's what we still try to do at Union today. This, in preparing this, I found that what we think is one of the youngest disciplines at Union turns out to be one of the oldest. They were teaching engineering at Union University in Murfreesboro, civil engineering, because the railroad was the boom of that day and needed engineers to design and prepare those railroads. West Tennessee College, located in Jackson, Tennessee, had a stately building. It was an institute of the city of Jackson. It was also a male-only institute. In that one building, you would have your classes, offices, labs, library, etc. And you have the same thing. Science faculty would have had some training as MDs. And again, there were no majors and minors. Everyone took the same sequence of courses and got a degree. And the sequence would have been very similar to university in Murfreesboro. One interesting thing about the people who taught the science course, the science sequence, was the relationship between Union and what is now called Lambeth. At that time, there was a school in Jackson called Memphis Conference Female Institute, or MCFI. And it was later renamed Lambeth. And the first, the person who became the second president of Lambeth, Amos Jones, started out as a professor at Lambeth, then came to Union, or West Tennessee College, taught science there, and then went back to Lambeth and became its longest-serving president. The first president of Lambeth, after he ended his term as president of Lambeth, then came to Union and taught science for 4 years. Very interesting relationship between those two institutions. Both institutions functioned very well until about 1860, and then the country fell apart with the Civil War. Institutions closed. The students and faculty enlisted in the armies, most of them in the South. Campuses were seized by whichever army was moving through at that time. Both campuses were used as hospitals. A lot of destruction to physical property. And neither institution really fully recovered from the effects of the Civil War, and both of them struggled then through the late 60s and early 70s. At this particular time, two forces came together that caused these two institutions to merge. The city of Jackson did not want a city institution, they wanted a regional institution, and the term they used was like Heidelberg or Oxford. The Tennessee Baptists wanted to unite. Being good Tennesseans, there were three Baptist institutions, one for West Tennessee, one for Middle Tennessee, and one for East Tennessee. And they wanted to form one convention called the Tennessee Baptist Convention, and they saw the way to do that was through education by creating a regional Baptist university that would serve the southwest part of the United States. That word southwest meant the Southwest, which Tennessee was at that time. It wasn't across the Mississippi. So from Union University in Murfreesboro, you had contributed the students, the alums, the faculty, the trustees, and the library from West Tennessee College. You had students, alums, the campus, the physical land, the buildings, and the endowment. and that all fused together to Southwestern Baptist University, a regional university that actually had satellite campuses located in other states when it was first formed. Its building looks very similar to West Tennessee College's because it was that old building. But it was now an institute of the Tennessee Baptist Convention. It was still a male-only institute, had all of its chapel, offices, classrooms, libraries, science labs there. Science faculty still were lucky to have some training as MDs. And again, there were no majors and minors, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone took a sequence of courses like University of Murfreesboro. Beginning with Southwestern Baptist University, there developed a trend among the faculty that's continuing to this day, and that is certain faculty stayed there through a long time. And by staying there a long time, they created a standard and maintained it that meant that quality education would continue year after year. First example of that is these two gentlemen, Thomas Jefferson Dupree, who taught natural sciences for 29 years, and Henry Clay Irby, who taught mathematics for 29 years. Both of them were Union graduates. Both of them were officers in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. Irby actually taught military science after the war. And both of them are always pictured together. Both of them were buried side by side in the cemetery here in Jackson. Their wives are on the other sides. And just interesting friends through life. Been talking about, you notice that Dupree had an MD. He was actually a physician. And Union, at Southwestern Baptist University, actually had a medical school in Memphis. It was called Memphis Hospital Medical College. It operated from 1880 to 1911. And it was one of the five other medicals and dental and pharmacy schools that fused together to form what's now the University of Tennessee Medical School in Memphis. But during this time, Southwestern's medical school graduated 2,625 MDs. So they were very efficient. Of course, but in those days, you only had to go to medical school 1 year to get an MD. So. But they still, you're an MD. Okay. Exciting change happened on campus in 1889. Can you guess what it was? Those four ladies sitting in the front. It became co-ed campus in 1889, although in pictures and annuals, there are very few women in the sciences until about the Roaring Twenties, but it's another story. Being a Baptist institution, you have to have building projects, and so we did. If you look closely, this was the original building. Then they added this very ugly top. Too bad we didn't have a school of architecture in those days. And then they added this Spanish motif here that fits the classical Greek look of the original building. Part here, which was called Powell Chapel, it had a basement which had a gymnasium in it. First floor was Powell Chapel, and the second floor was rooms for fraternities and literary societies. And Dr. Dockery, you notice they had a bell tower there. 1907 looked the same, but now it's Union University. And there are two changes. It's now coeducational, and the science faculty actually have training in the sciences by 1907. They're no longer using MDs. Author W. Prince was, as far as I can determine, the longest-serving science faculty member at Union's campus. As you add that up, he served 42 years. He was a professor of science originally, then switched to chemistry when they became majors. He was acting president, and he served as dean for many years. And if you've ever had a class in C-13 in this building, you're in the A.W. Prince classroom, named in his honor. Disaster struck on January the 20th, 1912. At about 3:45 a.m., a passing train engineer, Union's campus, as the class of 52 knows, was built near the railroad tracks. And a passing train engineer noticed that there was a fire in Powell Chapel. He sounded his whistle loud enough to wake up the campus community, and Professor Savage, who this chapel is named after, and Professor Prince organized the students to save everything they could out of the building. Luckily, they were able to save most of the library, and we still have many of those books in our current library. But they lost most of the science equipment. They lost a museum that had been developed from Union graduates being as missionaries around the world, had contributed a lot of geological and cultural artifacts from around the world, and that was all lost. The result of the fire was that the building was completely lost. They said near the end they were just grabbing things and throwing them out the windows, just trying to save anything they could. It was a disaster. Through the grace of God, within 1 year, it had been rebuilt into a different-looking building. This was Barton Hall, which was called by most students the administration building, the ad building, because the administration was in there. And it did contain the science labs up until the 1950s. This is a picture of the lecture room that was used for the sciences. What impressed me about this was several things. One, they went to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. and said, design us the most up-to-date science facilities for this building. And so this is what they came up with. You notice that it has a tiered classroom. It has a lecture table well used in front. And so if you compare that to what we have now, we have tiered classrooms, we have lecture tables in front. But we do have a few other things. We have projection equipment, and we have computers, and we have hoods in there, and it just looks more open and bright than what they had. This was a typical laboratory. And there's some interesting things in there. One, you notice there are no women. You notice that the men are either wearing vests, they're all wearing ties, and they're wearing suits. What's wrong with her eyes? No safety glasses. And that guy's sitting awful close to what looks like acid bottles. But anyway. Labs now look a little different. We're a little more casual now. We do have co-ed women taking science classes, and most of those people do have on safety glasses. See if you can find the person who doesn't. This is another, while Dr. Prince represents a long tenure for chemistry during this time, the Davis family, Charles W. Davis and Reed Davis, father and son, represent a long tenure for biology. If you've ever had a class in C-15, you're in the C.W. Davis classroom named in his honor. One of the reasons that Dr. Davis was brought to Union was to teach agriculture. Union had an ag school for many years, and this is a picture of some of the facilities and the official Union sheep and cattle. 1925, we now have majors and minors. No longer does everyone take the same sequence of classes, but you would concentrate in biology, you'd concentrate in chemistry, and if you took a major, you could take up to 3 minors, and you got a Bachelor of Science degree. The final change in what the campus that was downtown was movement of science facilities out of Barton Hall into this building, the science building. This building served as science facilities from 1951 to 1975. All of those lab benches that you saw that were brand new in 1913 were moved into this building. All that lecture desk was moved into this building. and I experienced those facilities. This could have been called the ABC building because on the top floor you had art, on the middle floor you had biology, and on the bottom floor you had chemistry. So it was the liberal arts in one building. Two faculty members who are currently on the staff served during that period of time. Ms. Smith, who I took classes with, has served 40 years, just 3 more years, and you beat Dr. Prince. And Dr. Baldwin, who I had classes with, and is currently Hammond's chair, left for a while and then saw his mistake and came back, and served 25 years. Both of those people are known for the high standards that they maintain, and by being here for so long, they've been able to keep us on track. Student life. This is from a Roaring Twenties annual. Roaring Twenties must have been a very amazing time that you could get a picture like this in a union annual. So I put it in all my talks, you know. It's legal if it's in an annual. Clubs. One of the big activities of Union was the clubs. One of the clubs that existed for a long time was called the Chem Club. Notice they couldn't spell in those days. Or they were German. That's what they were. It was very German. And the motto, you can work on yourself. Dr. Baldwin in the organics knows what ethyl is, but that's okay. The motto was to become better acquainted with ethyl, which is an arrangement of carbon and hydrogen atoms. I'm sure you know that. Today we continue the... Oh, Dr. Prince is standing right here. And when I originally saw this, I thought they were sniffing gas, but he's actually pouring something into a bottle. So, you know. Today, don't we look more civilized today? Today, we have the student affiliate of the American Chemical Society, and we have Biome, the biology club. There was no biology club in those days. Now, if you're weak of heart, I would advise you to shield your eyes before I show you the next picture, which is even more shocking than the lady before, and this is the doctor's club. The doctor's club, in case you haven't figured it out, this is a live person here. And these are people with all kinds of utensils trying to do things to his body. Dr. Huggins, cadavers. Well, you have cadavers, not live bodies. That's good. Okay. We do not have a doctor's club today, but we do have cadaver lab, and we have Sigma Zeta, the Science Honor Society. Okay. I think Union has a bright future for its science. I've kindly stopped in 1975, kindly, so you'll have to find out what happened after that. But here's the proposed science building, which has the look of Barton Hall, which has the look of West Tennessee College, and even University of Murfreesboro. And we'll be sitting, hopefully, soon across the campus from, across the great lawn from Jennings Hall, two great buildings facing each other. I see that in that building we'll continue to have dedicated faculty who will serve a long time, we will continue to have the interaction of faith and science and showing people that by studying science you're worshiping God. We will continue to have innovative facilities, and we'll continue to have outstanding students. And thank you for allowing me this opportunity to give this talk. Thank you very much.